hey, you are wildly capable of great things. So take a deep breath, let it out. You've got this. I want to tell you guys today about Brandlink Media, a female-owned digital agency with years of experience working with businesses in Oklahoma and beyond on their branding, web design, email marketing, copywriting, and more. Remember, you are wildly capable of great things, and Brandlink Media is cheering you on. Visit www.brandlinkmedia.com to schedule a free consultation. Link in our show notes. It is my pleasure to introduce Natalie Kent, a design director and activist currently leading a team at Focus Lab. Natalie, tell us about a few defining moments of your life.
Well, thank you for the introduction too, and I'm really happy to be here. One big defining moment in my life was when I left university and I was trying to find a job. I was, design degree. I was right out of school and nobody was hiring me. I could not find a job. I remember even just past internships, just nothing. It was kind of coming out of the financial crisis, and it was just not a great time to be a young designer with no experience other than, your internships right out of school. I remember I took the one job that hired me, and it happened to be in Oklahoma. It was an in-house design job just as a graphic designer. And I remember, it was the one place that offered me a job. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to take this. What I didn't know was that I had no friends or family in Oklahoma. So I didn't know anyone here. And it was just kind of like, okay, but like, this is what I'm doing, going into this job. And that was a defining moment in my life, because I remember, when you're so disconnected from maybe a network that you have and the people that you know and your traditional means of support, and you go somewhere where you're kind of removed from that, it's definitely a growth moment. You really have to look within yourself and try to figure out, like, meeting new people, making friends, putting yourself out there, getting connected to a community. And so I just remember, at first it was very difficult and I did not enjoy it. It was not fun. It was not easy. And it was just one of those that I knew, looking back now, what a growth moment that was and how that allowed me to, again, just networking and just meeting new people and just putting yourself out there, even if it's not comfortable for you, even if you'd rather just kind of stay home and just kind of be to yourself. That you have to do this, otherwise you're just going to stay miserable. And it also made me realize you have to love kind of where you're at, even if it's not where you want to eventually be. And so I thought, I need to leave. I'm going to leave as soon as I can find something else. I'm going to go just try and go somewhere else, go to a different city, wherever. And the moment I really started to focus on appreciating where I was, and not just focusing on the future and trying to leave and where I wanted to go, but acknowledging that, like, hey, but while I'm here, I'm still really going to, get involved and care about things that are happening locally and, participate in things. The happier I became, the more people I genuinely began to get to know, and the more fulfilled I was. And in fact, that's how I started one of my illustration series. I call it the Tiny Architecture Series. Originally it was the Uptown 23rd series, but I started that just as a way to appreciate the buildings and places around me. And then that became, I've done over 30 individual building illustrations and over 50 commissions for that. So it was great.
Wow, that's so interesting. I've seen some of your work and it is so cool and just very original. So tell us, in a creative career, where do you go for inspiration and to refill your cup?
Yes, inspiration is a huge part of the creative process. And it's something that I take, responsibility for that with the teams that I lead. So that can be, whether it's looking up just even the most recent technology, you know, things like carbon capture or, you know, just things that you're seeing technology wise and how we can connect that on a creative level. And there's always, you know, the design websites or Instagram or Dribbble or whatever we have to look at other, you know, great design inspiration. And I always like to share that too. But yeah, staying on top of like current technology or even looking at art history. I also like to look in the past to kind of see, you know, just you never know where you might pull inspiration from. And then on a more kind of higher level in terms of just creative leadership, I'm really lucky that there are more women in creative leadership. I see more creative leadership CEOs and partners and things like that, because honestly, those are the women that I'm looking to and how they lead. So there's women like Lisa Ross, Edelman, CEO of Edelman, or Paula Scher, graphic designer at Pentagram. Women like that who they're leading teams, they're leading some of the most world-class teams. And so looking to them for inspiration and how they lead creative teams and build that creative culture of success are people I look to as well.
Did you mention something called Dribbble? Because I don't know what that is yet and I'm curious.
Yeah, Dribbble is a design platform. So it's just kind of another way for designers to share a lot of their work. And so like at Focus Lab, that's actually a really, really important, even how Focus Lab got our start with sharing work on Dribbble, including our CEO who shared a lot of his work there and found a lot of success. So
it's so interesting. What I do is somewhat creative as well, and I've never heard of it. So I can't wait to check it out. And then a specific question for you, what is your day-to-day routine or day-to-day life look like as a creative?
Wake up pretty early. I usually wake up around 5 or 5:30 in the morning. I go work out. That's usually one of my favorite ways to start the day because I do feel more energized. I can tell it gets my mind going and I just feel healthier. And I think when you know, you have to take care of your physical health just as much as your creative health and your mental health and things like that, it all kind of connects. Mm-hmm. Then I'll typically come home, you know, and be looking kind of for inspiration. I try not to just dive right into tasks as the first thing that I do in the day. So I'll be looking at inspiration, reading kind of new information, articles and things, just that get my mind thinking a little bit more. And then kind of in the day-to-day, I kind of bounce all around. I may be in a client meeting. I may be meeting with my team, you know, doing lots of one-on-ones, things like that. And then typically at the end of the day, I might go for a walk. So I'm a fully remote. So I think it's important, you know, you're not walking around, you're not commuting, to make sure that you're getting up and moving. And especially at the end of the day, I'll kind of take a walk. And that kind of ritual, I'll also listen to like a podcast maybe on my walk as a ritual to kind of clear my mind from work to like off work. Also as a way, like while you're walking, just being able to think and, you know, hear new information, new perspectives. And then usually I'll cook dinner with my husband and we'll hang out for a little bit. And then at the end of the day, I'll usually read or kind of look at more inspiration again, kind of starting and ending my day, winding down, not thinking about like hard tasks or heavy problems, but kind of more of that fuzzy creative space. And then that's a kind of a great way that I'm, you know, before I go to bed, it's not too kind of task heavy either.
Yeah, your walk sounds like a good boundary because I also work from home and it's hard for me to like draw the line between work and home life. So that sounds like a great activity. I'm going to have to give that a try. And then when you look at your future and where you're headed, do you have any big projects or goals or anything in particular that you want to achieve for your future?
Yes. So I want to continue to build the best design team possible. I believe in the power of branding. I believe in the power of branding, especially that we're in Focus Lab, we're in the B2B and B2B tech space. And I know that there's so much capacity for branding that uplifts organizations, that helps these organizations really flourish. When you have a brand that works internally and then externally and it's all aligned, I think that's just where, you know, organizations are unstoppable. And so I want to continue to, you know, grow this design team that I have I think I have some of the best designers in the nation working for me. Like, seriously, they're incredible. And so continuing to really grow that team and empower this team of creative people that I work with. And also, you know, kind of lifting up the creative field in general. I'm really passionate about, you know, equal pay, you know, things around pay and internships, and just the creative workforce and how we can better advocate for a healthier creative workforce environment, calling out things that are just stupid and not working in the industry. I want to make sure that we're making, that I can help implement positive change in the industry, even around something like, I know a lot of agencies still require a college degree for certain roles. Just to have a degree, even if it's not relevant to the job that you're actually going to be hired for, just, you have to just have a bachelor's. And I think things like that are just so outdated. It's gatekeeping and it's keeping up barriers for people to actually continue to bring, you know, new perspectives into the creative field. So things like that, where I want to see these changes, I'm vocal about that. And then even too, at a higher level, in terms of climate change and the big issues that are facing our world today, I want to be a part of, you know, having a voice in that as a creative person. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a climate scientist. And a lot of people might say, well, why is a creative, why is a design director having a strong opinion about climate change? I'm not an expert in that by any means, but I think it takes all kinds of people and it takes creative people to tackle unknown problems and solutions ahead, because that's literally what I do for a job, is tackle the unknown. What could your brand look like? How can we help create that with you? What do you want that future of your company and of your brand to be? That's the power of branding, and that's the space that we live in every day. And so what better people to have on the front lines of this big, hairy problem of climate change than people who tackle that unknown all the time?
Absolutely. I watched a documentary about coral and it disappearing, and they sort of set up the whole premise of their documentary that climate change has a marketing problem, a communications problem, a branding problem, because people weren't understanding what the scientists were saying. And so they almost needed a creative to come in and make it more digestible. So that's really incredible that you're stepping into that gap when we need it the most. So tell us about, what is your most proud moment to date?
My most proud moment, at a high level, like just speaking broadly, because I see my purpose as leading and help grow creative people. That's deep down my purpose and what I care about the most. And so when I have my proudest moments, it's not the brand that turned out amazing. It's not an award. It's not any of that. It's when I see the creative people that I've been leading, when they grow and flourish and succeed. That just gives me that proud coach moment, where it's like, I know maybe they tried a brand style that they've maybe never tried before. They had a difficult conversation that they've never had to have before, and they excelled at it, or they were challenged and they pushed through it. Moments like that, that's what just gets me excited to come to work every day, and just celebrating those things that brings me, you know, gives me purpose in what I do. So I know it's kind of a broader answer, but that really is when I am most proud in the work that I do.
100 Magazine is a publication featuring 100 wildly capable women in Oklahoma City. Buy the magazine to read all 100 interviews at 100mag.com. Wildly Capable Woman podcast is produced by Sugar Free Media. You can check out our daily news podcast, News Du Jour, for a calmer space to consume the news. Music is by Joey Lavoie and Nicholas Foster. Please consider rating and reviewing this podcast if it meant something to you, to help us reach other wildly capable women.